Though it's been more than 2 years since the fall of the Taliban, long-term stability in Afghanistan remains far from assured. NPR's Philip Reeves traveled recently to the Afghan capital, Kabul.
Shahan is less than an hour's drive from Kabul, yet the village seems to belong to a different age. In the capital, people have been lining up to register to vote in the coming presidential and parliamentary elections. Here, the only line is for the water pump. As he stands with his buckets amid the low mud buildings, many of them still half-wrecked by civil war, Salam Yuan, a 25-year-old farmer, says he hasn't registered to vote because no one's yet asked him to. He also hasn't made up his mind whether he'll allow his wife to vote.
I would see what the other villagers do. If they let their wives register, then I will too. But if I was the only person who allowed his wife to register, then I would be called a coward.
Salam's arcane attitude, shared by many Afghan men, is one of many problems facing those trying to organize Afghanistan's first elections since the Taliban was overthrown by a US-led coalition in 2001. So significant are the problems that President Karzai has announced the postponement of the poll, initially due in June, until September. That still leaves less than 6 months to register an estimated 8 million more Afghan voters, five times the number logged since December when registration began. There's a plan to set up 4,400 new registration locations nationwide. Manuel de Almeida y Silva, the United Nations chief spokesman in Kabul, says this is a formidable task.
4,400 locations mean 8,800 registration sites, half men, half women. And the estimate is that about 33,000 Afghans will need to work in these registration sites and whatever else comes along to put this together.
There's no chance these thousands of staff will register anything close to all Afghanistan's potential voters, especially women. Paul Barker represents the aid organization CARE International in Afghanistan.
Certainly, I think the legitimacy of the election is more important than the timing of the election, and it won't be legitimate unless we have a wide spectrum of population registered in all parts of the country. Most of the registration so far has been in the relatively more secure and accessible urban areas, and to get the 80% figure, you're talking about remote rural Afghanistan. So, good luck.
The obstacles are many. Analysts doubt whether southern and southeastern Afghanistan, plagued by Al-Qaeda and Taliban militants, is secure enough for elections. The country's awash with arms, an issue the Karzai government proposes to tackle by trying to disarm 40,000 militiamen by the end of June. Some observers warn elections are being held before voters or political parties have been adequately educated in democracy, or before moves to prevent Afghanistan's heavily armed warlords from influencing the outcome. Andrew Wilder is director of the Afghanistan Research and Evaluation Unit.
If you ask Afghans what they want, many of them want elections, but they all always qualify it by saying, we don't want elections until there's been disarmament, and until there's an environment where we think we'll be able to vote freely and fairly. And so I think that's the big issue. In the current time frame, whether we can take on the warlord culture that rules most of Afghanistan outside of Kabul, I think is highly unlikely.
Wilder believes there's a risk democracy could be undermined even before it's taken hold. He says the issue's less important in the presidential elections, as Karzai faces no strong challenger and is widely expected to win.
In parliamentary elections, however, where there's lots of, you know, candidates running at local level, there can be intimidation. I think basically that's when the warlords and their candidates are going to be able to intimidate voters and force them to vote, basically force Afghans to vote for the very people they hate and despise and blame for the conflict of the last 20 years.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.